Today we're talking still in rebellion, and we'll title this one rebellion, disobedience to God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, what we heard him tell Samuel, tell Saul, for disobedience. It's better to obey than sacrifice. So that means rebellion is actually disobedience to God when you disobey authority of the, because rebellion is against God. Today, what I'm going to do is, as some of the older congregations and some of the people, you think about it, man. That's why I say the older people should come to church or Bible study more than anyone else. When it says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, and I tell you, the earlier church met every day, they met daily, the original church, Christian church, during the time the church was formed, they met daily, continued in the word of God. But that's because every day we're not reading the word of God. I'm not accusing anyone of not reading God's word every day. But I don't believe all of us are able to read or do read the word of God, or spend an hour, 2 hours a day researching and studying the word of God. And that's what we need to do to get strong in the word of God, because that's what it's about, coming out of the world. It's not about television and the rest of everything else. It's about God's word. That's the main thing. So today I'm going to talk about disobedience. I'm going to look as if I come to your house and we got a Bible study going on, and we're going to go scripture for scripture looking at disobedience, because all these things were areas of times we disobey, and the feelings and emotions rendered there is part of rebellion. That's why I say it's such a vastness in God's word. That's why we'll always be teaching and learning of God. It's infinite, the nuances of God's word in our lives and in the every area of our lives. It just permeates all. So he has to increase as we decrease. We have to die to self. Isaiah 30 and the first verse says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, as that may add sin to sin. In other words, you're learning from the world. You're learning from other people. You're not covering what God's covering with his blood, with his word. We're sanctified. We're cleansed by his word. But we're not doing that. We're using the things of the world, the devices of the world, all that stuff that then slowly crept in. It has shaped and formed us, like David says, we were shaped in iniquity. So we're looking at the rebellion right here at the end of time. We see rebellion, and we see rebellion in the people of God, and that's where it's most dangerous at. And that's why one of the things I'm trying to do is equip the church to fight rebellion that's inside the church, because it's the people that Christ warned in to the seven churches when he wrote those letters. And he says that there was some of them in there that was doing different things and holding different doctrines and teachings, and if they didn't repent, he was going to come and fight against them, that he was going to take their light from among them, or take the lamp from among the lampstand. So we have to see that we're all, each and every one of us individually in the church, are going through certain things. And that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter, because of this rebellion at the end, that it's in us, it's in our nature, it's in our blood. That's why we have to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all about his shed blood that was set to redeem us, because every man that's been born since Adam has this as a part of his nature, and we have to die to that. We have to die to self. This rebellion is in us. We have a propensity to commit rebellion, to be disobedient. From the very smallest child, it's rebellion's in their blood. What Peter says, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, he says, be sober, that is, well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. So self-discipline, that means a buffeting of yourself, a denial of yourself, keeping yourself checked what you're doing. He says that enemy of yours, or ours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's fierce and he's hungry, seeking someone to devour. It says, but resist him and be firm in your faith. That is, against his attacks, rooted and established and immovable, not giving an inch, not giving an inch in your faith, being unpliable, that he can't move you. Be steadfast. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. We're all going through this, whether in the church or out of the church. We're all going through something. We are not suffering alone. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessings and favor to us, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. If you fight this fight long enough, if you continue to fight, he's going to establish you in the faith. He's going to root you in. But you remember I told you, you have to assimilate his word. We have to become the word. Just like Jesus Christ, the word was God, the word was with God, and he was the word. That word has to be who we are. That's what we bleed is the word. That's what we live for. That's what man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. To him be dominion, and that is the sovereignty and power forever and ever. So we have to see that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, that he's prevailing throughout the world, and that he could attack at any moment. I was telling my wife last night, I said, wow, that was a fiery dart the devil fired in there, because I had a thought that crossed my mind when something happened on television. It put a thought of a bad joke or a bad saying that I heard 30 or 40 years ago, a bad joke or whatever. And see, that's what's happening. See, we're built in such a way, the things you want to do or say or whatever, you could think about years and eons back when you said or done something or whatever. Those things are not way, but you have to quench them. You have to bring it into captivity. Obedience, not let it feed, not let it fester or make its nest there. You can't stop those things from coming into your mind, but you don't have to entertain. Satan has that influence, so we could see that influence coming through the world. We could see, you sitting there watching television, you can't just speed through every commercial or watching something and all of a sudden there's a love scene or something pop up or whatever. You can guard it to a certain point when a movie or something comes on. They have a rating, whether they're rated PG or MA-14 or so, and they display some sexual nudity or strong language, explicit language or whatever. You can guard against it to an extent, but out in life and everywhere, God has us in the world, but he wants to keep us from the evil in the world till it doesn't pervade or to where it doesn't influence us. We can't be influenced by the world. We know Satan had drawn away a third of the angels in his rebellion. We see that in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, and Revelations 12 to 4, that he withdrew a third of the angels, and he has the power and ability to deceive the very elect if possible. But it's not possible. But what we do, we open the door and allow strength to wane. What weakens us is disobedience to God. Our disobedience weakens us. It weakens us to our spouse, our children, our relatives, people at work or whatever. That's why it says you always have to be vigilant. What you're saying and what's being done and what's said to you, you have to be aware, attentive to what's going on, all the nuances of things going on. We know that disobedience provokes the anger of God. We get in the Bible, we look and we read Psalm 78 and 10. It says, they did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. How often they rebel against him in the wilderness and they grieved him in the desert. So we see that they did this. How many times that we're not taking heed to ourselves or not walking in God's commandments and everything. We would have to know his commandments and have to know his laws to know that we're not walking in them and that we're not walking pleasing to God. That means we have to walk by faith, because whatever is not of faith is sin. So we have to have complete faith and complete reliance on God. That's why it says in prayer and supplication, let all our requests be known unto God, be channeled through him. Isaiah 3:8 says, for Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their words and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against his glorious presence and defiantly provoke him. What they did then was an example unto us, because we're doing the same thing now. So we seeing in his word, why was he mad at his chosen people then? It's the same reason he would be mad at us, his chosen people, his church, if we call ourselves the born again or we children of God, would be the same reason he would be provoked by us. We're provoking him to anger by not being attentive or opening up. And now what it also, what disobedience does, we look researching disobedience, because that's what our rebellion lies at. Because he told Saul, when he told Saul to go down there and destroy all the Amalekites, everything they had, don't save anything or whatever. Saul says, save the best. The people wanted to save the best to sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel told Saul that you had done what the Lord told you to do. You've rebelled against what God had said do. In other words, you've disobeyed God. And he says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is better to obey than to make sacrifice. What would God rather more? Obedience or sacrifice? You wouldn't have to sacrifice anything if you obeyed God. The sacrificial offerings came into play because of a guilty conscience, a guilt toward God, and it didn't remove guilt, but it was a perpetuation. It was something you did. So we're using coverings of situations that's not of God. We're covering of coverings that's not of God. The covering we have is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to put him on. And to put him on is to walk in his way, to continue in his word as his disciple. And that is continuing God's word. And that's who he was. He was complete. He was complete obedience. He came and fulfilled the law. He did that which was pleasing unto God. That's our example. So we don't want to forfeit the favors of God. Disobedience causes us to forfeit the favors of God. 1 Samuel 13:14. 1 Samuel 13:14. Let's thumb through our Bibles and see. It says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for a man himself, that is David, after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as leader and ruler over his people, because you have not kept or obeyed what the Lord commanded you. So you remember he had told him that he would establish his kingdom, he would establish his family. He told every person that came unto God, just like Jehu or whatever, God said he would establish their family, he would establish them. As same as he told David what he would do for his son Solomon. He said, but if he disobeyed me, this is what I'm going to do. So Saul disobeyed God, and so that forfeited his kingship. So the kingship departed from him, and it went to David, a man after God's own heart. He gave Adam the rule and the dominion of earth. But he told Adam, don't eat from that tree over there. But Adam disobeyed God. Eve was deceived. She was tricked because she, I don't know if it was disbelief of Adam or whatever, but Satan deceived Eve. It says the woman was deceived, but Adam, he knew what God had says, and he knew not to transgress God. But he disobeyed God, and he surely died. It brought him. So he forfeited his dominion. In other words, this was turned over. That's how Satan says, when he came to Jesus in the wilderness, just like he came to Adam and Eve, he came to Jesus and says, cast yourself down from me. And he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, well, command that these stones be made brick. He says, well, bow down and worship me, and I give you all these kingdoms, for thus it was delivered unto me. Yeah, Adam had delivered. Adam turned over the reign. He forfeited the dominion of the earth. By his disobedience, he forfeited that dominion and gave it to Satan, and Satan is the prince of the god of this world. Jesus Christ came back, and through his obedience, not a rebellion, but through his obedience, he won it for righteousness' sake, through his innocence, his submission, his suffering. He came back, and all power and authority was given unto him. Because Satan was a rebel from the beginning. He was a liar and a murderer. So his rule was only a tenuous rule until God came and gave it to whom he wanted to give it to. It wasn't Satan. Satan could have delivered it. That's why it's a lot of false prophets and false preachers with nice churches and nice places of worship. But they serve Satan. They serve the god of this world. And Satan is giving them wealth. He's giving them large congregations. He's giving them millions of followers and all this thing. He's giving them all this to false prophets. He can give that to whom he wanted. That's why material blessings, a thing, doesn't determine whether you have God. But Jesus says all power and authority had been given to him because it was God that came in because of Satan's unrighteous rule. What did he do? He put an innocent, just man to death. That righteous man, Jesus, who wasn't deserving of death, they lied on him and put him to death. So that's where he transgressed God. That's where Satan did. He took the life of an innocent man, which it wasn't required that he die. Only the soul that sent it would die. Jesus Christ didn't die. God delivered him up to death, so he wasn't a rebel. So he righteously inherit the throne of grace. Satan is a rebel, and a rebel can't be a leader or the ruler of God's people. So all those that are under bondage are under sin, that's because Satan had became their father. You remember he says, you are your father, the devil. You of the world. You follow the things of the world. Because remember I told you we had a nature. Yes. Our blood nature, that we belonged to Satan. All of us are under that first death, that first command. It's like Luther, the bondage of the will. We have that propensity because we are earthly. But Jesus Christ brought us back, but it's through faith, through believing in what he said and what he promised, the promise that was given to Abraham. He's that promised seed that Jesus Christ came, that God promised to the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. That's why I say we have to be victorious. We have to keep overcoming and defeating the devil because we are that promised seed. If we believe that we are the sons of God doing exactly what Jesus Christ did, and he had given us that power and all authority that we have, that faith to overcome to him who believe it. Be it to you according to your faith. As long as we're not grieving the spirit or quenching the spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're not rebellious against his laws. That's why I say, let's look at disobedience, because that's what Satan do a lot of times. Observe your weaknesses through your disobedience, because the consequences of sin remains. You know, there's a penalty for sin. Every sin and transgression you receive is just recompense of reward. So Saul lost the kingdom. He might have not lost his salvation. A lot of people, God had taken a lot of the Corinthians out because they took the Lord's Supper wrong or whatever, because God would take his disobedient children out. His chastening and his punishment sometimes is severe. So David, what he said, I put away your sin, David. I put away your sin, but the child is going to die. I put away your sin, David, but forever the sword won't leave your house, David. The consequences are still there. Sometimes we could forfeit his promises of blessing. We forfeit the promises of blessing of God. Joshua 5 and 6. For the Israelites walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war, who came out of Egypt died because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. To them, the Lord has sworn an oath that he would not let them see the land which he had promised to their fathers to give us, a land of abundance flowing with milk and honey. You remember, they rebelled against God when he told them to go up and take the land. They said, we can't do this. Now, God had mercy upon him, but didn't he tell Moses, when Moses said, well, let it be account of him, and God says, get back, let me wipe them all out. Even though he didn't wipe them out at that time, God did make this statement. He says, every one of y'all, your carcasses will drop in the wilderness, and you won't see the land that I had promised. They forgo that promise. Why? Because they disobeyed God. God had told them something to do, and they murmured against God. He said, the only ones could go in and see it would be Joshua and Caleb. Those would be the only two. Now, how did Moses get excluded? His anger. So that's a whole different thing. But we'll look at that disobedience. We could look at that disobedience of God's instructions. I told you it's some different nuances to this. His anger was his problem. Anger management problems is the reason he disobeyed God. And I told you we had a couple of here that, I don't know, I can't say that they're not born again, because we all have human weaknesses that we have to overcome. So we can't determine a person's godliness by where they at on that ladder. Have they overcame yet or not? They may quit lying altogether, but we know no liars enter into the kingdom of God. But it may take them a while to overcome that weakness. It might take them a while to overcome smoking or drinking or whatever they're doing. That doesn't disqualify them from being children of God. But it does constitute consequences and punishment and chastisement while they're walking in those vices. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. It says, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house, that of Aaron and your father, would walk in priestly service before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be insignificant and contemptible in my sight. Now, this is where God was talking with Moses. And the child Samuel grew on and was in the favor both with the Lord and with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus says the Lord God, said the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thine father when they were in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the rich tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up on my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thine father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel. My people, therefore, the Lord of Israel said, indeed, thy house and the house of thine father should walk before me forever. But now he says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thine father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. Now here, like I said, if you get your Knaves or Tory topical Bible and you're looking for subjects, under disobedience, we find this one at 1 Samuel 2 and 30. But here he's talking to Eli and what he had promised Eli's house about being priests and prophets. But Eli hadn't followed God. He allowed his sons to do things, and as his sons got older, they wasn't following God. Remember, they were sleeping with the women that came in, and they were taking the offerings. Eli told them about it, but sometimes as your sons get too old to do things, or listen at you, are they too old for you to discipline or chasten or whatever? It's just like David's sons. David had allowed the tree to get too large before he bent the sap, but it may have, you know, we know about the sovereignty of God and predestination, but we have to see this from a perspective that we have to do all we can do in where we may have failed or whatever. We could have failed. And we're looking at somewhere where Eli may have failed, just like nepotism or whatever. You allow your children to do things you wouldn't allow other children, but they doing this. And Samuel had told him, well, who punishes the person that sins against God? See, God takes care of that. He defends himself. So governments, and I tell you, like Satan was over a government, just like the government of this nation that's doing wrong, or any nation, God puts in power, and that person is accountable to God. Any king or any power that is power, God had given them that power, and they're accountable to them, to God. And so now God addresses Samuel on this, and all of Samuel's family's sons are going to be wiped out, and it'll come back and tell you later on the Bible where a prophecy was fulfilled. This was the last poor person in Samuel's house, in Eli's house, to die or whatever, because the priesthood switched from Eli's house to Samuel's house. You remember Eli asked Samuel, what did the Lord tell you or whatever? And Samuel was one of the greatest prophets it was, but notice that Samuel's children didn't follow the Lord. That's when the people wanted a king to rule over them, because they say, Samuel, your sons don't follow the Lord. They're not following the right way or whatever. And anyone knows that if a person is not following the Lord, they can't lead you to the Lord. And that's why this nation, living in a nation of rebels or whatever, I teach that sermon or study last week or whatever, you have to learn that you have to save yourself, and that is do what's right and not give power to that. When you give power, in other words, give your offerings and tithes and your presence and all this to the wrong church, the wrong government of following this, people see you giving power to that. And that's why I preached yesterday, there's danger in a crowd, because now you're giving power to that institution, to that government, or to wherever it is. And they didn't honor God, and says, those that honor me and treat me contemptuously, those I'll dishonor, those I'll take down. See, God defends, and God's running the world. He's sovereign. So I'm not preaching and teaching some weak God, some weak-kneed God that is not sovereign over all. That's why I fear and reverence God, not man. That's who I walk to please. Amen. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, Jeremiah in the 10th verse, it says, and if they do even my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will reverse my decision concerning the good which I had promised to bless them. And that's why a lot of blessings that God had promised unto the children of Israel, they were conditional blessings based on the fact whether they followed God or not. It's not like a parent now, people especially now, that even though your children's bad or not did something right, you still reward them or give them what you have for them or whatever. Say, well, no, now they're going to be hardened in their sin. It's not costing them anything. Whether they good or bad, you're not taking the keys from them. You're not taking the money from them. You still giving them and doing for them. Well, that's no discipline, no chastening, and character can't be formed in that child, in that individual. You're not a good person of God. You're not a good parent. They say a good parent chastens his child. If you don't beat him, you don't love him. You don't discipline, you don't love him. Conversations, that's the popular thing about talking in time out. That's the way and tradition of man and of the world. God says beat him with a rod, he won't die. You put something on him. That's what's the problem with the world today. So a lot of times it's short trap of we forfeit the promises of God. And that's what we're looking for, the promises of God. Because we're children of Abraham, and those are children of faith. That's how the promise came to Abraham. It was of faith. Not by the law, by the works of the law. None of us go inherit this. It's weak through the flesh. We can't do anything to deserve these things. It's by God's grace through faith. Disobedience brings a curse. That's why that commandment, honor your father and mother, so your days will be long. It does shorten your life, but stereotypically, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you live a long life or whatever, just because it's not that specific. But we have to realize it doesn't mean that God didn't say it and that God didn't mean it, but he can do things another way. He has a, like I say, God is not put in a box that he has to do this and do that. That's why you can't judge. You have to be spiritual to be able to be a judge. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse says, "And the curse, if you do not listen to and obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from following the which way I am commanding you today, by following, acknowledging, or worshiping other gods which you have not known." The money coming people, the faith, word of faith people, and the prosperity people. You hear Benny Hinn and all of these people go in the New Testament. They pull out back tithes and offerings and all of the blessings and favor that come up on you. That's because those are popular messages. But just like God said all those things on one mountain, he was saying those blessings. But he made sure somebody stood up on the opposite side and said the curses. That if you do not follow my word, if you do this, this curse could fall upon you. That curse. But people don't like to hear that today. That's why they keep the teachers having itching ears. They go say what pleases them. They're not going to say what God wants them to say. That's why, that's where the warning shot comes at. It's from God's preachers, because they will warn you. So you could say, you can't say you hadn't been warned. God had warned you through his preachers, through his word. He had warned you what you could do. You do contrary to what he say. Now they shortchanging you that go in the Old Testament and put all old arrows blessings, but don't pull out the curses with them. Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, "But it shall come about if you do not listen to and obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments and statutes which I have commanding you today, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." That's why a lot of the pandemic and the plagues are hitting people, because you are in rebellion against God. Part of it is obeying those that have rule authority over you. He had put governments in power. So the government's trying to track you down. They've even given people money and all kinds of things, trying to get them to take this shot, because without it, you die. But disobedience, a lot of people have died because you're not listening at what God's word say. Well, you say, "Well, man created this, man did all this." But what did I say in my word that with that shot, a lot of people don't get as sick as other people? They may get a little bit of taste or the weakness or whatever, but they don't get as sick. But you didn't let somebody put into your mind side effects, and we don't know what's going to happen from here to there. What? You never know what's going to happen from here to there. Life is a chance. So we're living by faith. I'm not living by sight. I'm living by faith in God. If I'm counting on what's going to go on in the world, I'd be in bad shape. Disobedience is part of the characteristics of the wicked. Now, this is what you can see sometimes. It's not necessarily just discerning or whatever, but you can see some of these things. So what New Testament scripture we have on this is 2 Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter, the second verse. Do I need to go all the way back to the first verse? But I put just that on my notes. It says, "In which you once walked, you were following the way of this world, influenced by this present age." You remember I told you what influences you? Twitter, what it is, Facebook, what people saying is hip now, what's in, and this cancel culture, or what you're following or whatever. Those are the things of the people you influence by. He says you once walked that way. But that's why God separates his people. You remember he told them, separate, come away from around Korah and Dathan. At Revelations 18:14, come out of the world, come out of Babylon. Don't do what the world do. Because what he had did us, go back to the first verse of Ephesians, he says, "And you he had quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." He made you alive. He birthed you again. He born. You were once dead. You remember I was talking about being dead once. But now he's made you alive. We know that once he makes us alive, he quickens us. He resurrects us to life that we have eternal life and we don't die again. We may sleep, but we don't die. We don't die a second death. Right? So we were once quickened. His word is what's making us alive. The spirit is what gives it life. That's why he puts the spirit in us. It gives us life. So now walk. The word walk is living. How is your lifestyle? The way you live. He says, in which you once walked. You once walked in that way. You were once in darkness. You were once in the world, but now you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not living the way the world does. You're not having any of the characteristics. It says you were following the ways of the world. In other words, influenced by what was going on in the world in accordance with the prince of the power there. You remember I told you Satan was the prince of the power there. He's the prince of this world. Jesus said, the prince of this world coming and you have nothing in me. We're wrestling against powers and wickedness and high places in the powers of there. It's darkness. It's not an individual. It's spiritual. It says, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, that spirit is still working in them, but we don't allow that spirit to work in us. He says, ye are servant of whom you yield your members servants to obey. Yield yourself to righteousness. Once you put on the armor of God, put on his breastplate of righteousness, you yield yourself to do that which is right. You're not going to do that which is wrong. You're not going to disobey God. Peter says it's better to obey God than man. Yes. Joseph says, how can I do this and sin against God? I know what sin is. And Job says, I'll hide my eyes so I don't look up on sin. You're not doing things, going places or anything that you know is sin. This is what strengthens you. This is giving you power to overcome. And God's working in those who walk in that disobedience. So it's not working in us because why? We're killing ourselves. He says, mortify your body. What does mortify? It means put to death. A mortician deals in death. He mortifies. Make dead your body. So do not yield your members unto sin, unto unrighteousness. Stop going places you shouldn't go. Stop looking at things you shouldn't look. Stop thinking about. You remember I said, Satan had shot a fiery dart into my head, but I didn't let it rest in that. It says, bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm sitting here in this conversation, then turn into gossip. Hey, look, we're not going to gossip about anybody. We're not going to bear tales and everything. We're going to shut this down right now. People don't like for you to stop a conversation or say, well, look, now this gossiping or something. Because why? You prayed before that conversation. You prayed coming in at home. You prayed that morning or whatever. And you're not going to use me because as soon as we get apart or whatever, you talking about this person or somebody else, you can say, guess what you call them say? It's always going to be what you said and what they said. Well, what y'all was doing sitting there talking about me anyhow? You see what I'm saying? Watch that tongue. You have to be under control of God's spirit. Rebel rousing. You rouse up trouble. You raise rebellion. You raise insurrection, seditions and things. Those characteristics shouldn't be in children of God. You should be putting those to death. Says Paul said, I die daily. In other words, put away all those propensity to do those things to death. Tell people that might have been used to be what I do. I don't do it no more. Well, you used to. Well, I used to, but not no more. Don't bring it around here. Take it to the trash heap. Take it to the dump pile. Don't bring it in here. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but by their actions they deny and disown him. And that's what I say. Look at it, not just what a person's saying. Look at what he's doing. Look at the way he's living. Look at his walk. They are detestable and disobedient and worthless for good work of any kind. They're detestable. They're disobedient. I can't be a part of overthrowing the government. I can't be coming on television and persuading my children and everybody to disobey the government. Daniel, he didn't go out there and tell everybody, don't pray to God. I mean, don't pray to Nebuchadnezzar's God. Don't do all these things. What he did, he went in his house, opened his windows. He prayed. He didn't say, y'all come on, let's pray against the government. He prayed himself. Don't drag a whole lot of people into your rebellion and disobedience. That's what Korah did. How many times people try to get everybody else involved in they trouble, they problem? Titus 3:3. He said, "For we too once were foolish, disobedient, and deceived, enslaved to various sinful desires and pleasures, spending and wasting our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." We was once like that. That's why I can spot it to you, because I know exactly how I was. And like I said, we're all going through the same thing. We're all fighting the same fight. It's against me, going against a lot of things in me to hold back and try to put this to death. But I know how you feel. You feel good talking about somebody. You feel good hating somebody because they did you this and that. But it's just a feeling, and I'm dead to my feeling. What gives me peace and joy to know I'm in Christ Jesus? And like Samuel said, I hadn't taken anybody's donkey, I asked for anything. I hadn't borrowed nothing from you. I don't need you for this or whatever. That's what makes me happy, that I'm complete and have peace in God. But it won't be unto my conscience if I sit there with you and, "Oh yeah, I hate him too. Guess what he did to me?" And this and that. Well, it might have made you feel good while sitting there doing that. But if you got any conscience or anything, it's going to come back. You say, "You know, I shouldn't have sat there with him and said that. I shouldn't have did that. I wouldn't have did that." You have to have the spirit in you that convicts you of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit do. It convicts you of sin. It makes you conscious or aware of what you're doing. What he did, he didn't quicken and made you alive. So now you don't sit there and do that stuff and get involved in it and then go back and have to repent and say, "I'm sorry I did this." You stop it before it comes. Yes. You shouldn't continue in sin that grace. God wants you strong enough to see the devil coming. No, not after he come and say, "Man, I had to fight with that devil." Mm-hmm. He wants you strong enough to make the devil go around. He stop fooling with you. If you're strong enough, people will stop dumping that garbage at your door. They're going to go somewhere else. You dump it on somebody else's porch. I'm not going to step out there and step in. The wicked persevere in disobedience. They keep on doing it. They keep on over and over. Jeremiah 2:21 says, "Yet I have planted you, O house of Israel. I've planted the church, a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then you turn against me into degenerate shoots of a foreign wild vine?" In other words, how did you get to where you doing that which is against me? By listening to your friends. That's how you turn on your parents. After a while, your friends convince you your parents didn't like you, that they hated your guts, mm-hmm. and that they wasn't doing the right thing, that they were stupid, that they were old and didn't know or whatever. Well, that's teaching you against the commandments, because why would you teach someone to go against their parents or whatever? That's teaching rebellion or sedition. Once they rise up against their parents and start dishonor, you caused that because you taught it. You were that. You helped influence them that way. All your parents was trying to tell you with your children that your friends and things may be a bad influence in your life because they've been through that. They've saw that or whatever. They were through love for you. They that wasn't hating on your friends or whatever. They were saying you're not stronger than your friends or whatever, and they go wear you down until after a while. You could be just like they are, and the parent could be the enemy. The one who had clothed you, fed you, sheltered you, and did all you can, that did for you until you got up of age enough to know that you 14, 15, or 17, or old, but now you know I'm stupid and poor and can't do nothing for you, and you got more sense than me. That's how we do God. God bring us through, give us wealth, give us food. He didn't take care of them in the desert, but you said, "Well, God, let me think about this because it might be another way to do this. I don't have to follow. It's different ways to get to God. It's different ways." Okay, now that religion showing you it's got different ways to God. And you really don't believe in sin and the devil and all that or whatever. Now you're not even serving my God. It'd be many gods, right? It'd be many ways to God. Now you don't even like your parents' gods or whatever. You can't tell that the devil deceived the whole world, hitting your pal and your buddy until you like the prodigal son, until you waste all you have, until you don't have anything. Now you got to come back to your brother or sister and say, "Can you help me out, Pete?" Well, what happened to your God? Your God should have you with money all through the month, huh? Yep. Your God should keep you in favor, huh? Yep. But now you always talking about me, but what's your God doing for you? Yeah. I don't see the result of what's your God doing for you. The hyeniousness of this, hyeniousness. And people are talking about, oh, Biden should help to Afghanistan. He just, this has been going on for 20 years. We didn't have no business over there. Afghanistan hadn't did us anything in the first place. George Bush went over there bombing them. It was Saudi Arabia and Egypt who did this. So now you seeing these people running behind planes and living this way or whatever, and you didn't went here and made a snap judgment of this. Because those people might be following the traditions of their parents. They may be standing for something. Research the Taliban and see, wasn't they blowing up the statues and things that those people were worshiping and things before we even came over there? We went over there for money and oil. We went over there for material things. These people stood. We didn't spend trillions of dollars because these people, this was a heritage thing. Their fathers before them, this been going on throughout all time. It was bred in them. Listen to Jeremiah 35:14. The command which Joadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons not to drink water has been observed as a custom for more than 200 years. To this day they do not drink wine, for they have obeyed their father's command. But I have repeatedly spoken to you, yet you have not listened to me. God rewarded the sons of Rechab, because their father had told them, don't drink wine and don't do these things. They had did that for 200 and some years. That's the one Jehu tried to impress about how strict for the Lord he was. Some of these cultures you go in and people have been following the tradition of their parents, the traditions for years. Over in Afghanistan, over there, it's a lot of things that they said through their culture they didn't allow the women to do, or the men didn't do, or whatever. But, you know, we kind of want that country like America, though. We want the women, each morning when I go through the news, if you open your web page, they're going to have the stories of the day. And do you know all of the popular stories of the day, each of the movie stars or celebrities or whoever it may be, of that day, it may be two or three political stories in there, but the majority of the story is about this female celebrity or whatever is dressed in a bikini, or this mod, this fashion or whatever. It's about nudity of the woman, the way they dress or whatever, and that shows a bikini, and it's been talking bikini. Just that's on your web page. As you open up, you can set your main page and it'll show you the news of the day, all the news of the day. And all of the news, they'll give you a few political stories and you could go through that news. But the most popular thing is what someone is wearing. So the only way a lot of people really knew that America was established in Iraq or whatever is that drugs had came over, prostitution had started to prosper, and all kinds of corruption in any end. We go in and buy these through bribes and corruption. We try to corrupt the leaders of these nations. That's why Afghanistan is no more popular now or prosperous now than it was before we pumped $4 or $5 trillion into it over the last 20 years. But here we over here fighting against welfare, Social Security, employment, food stamps and things for our own people. But we throw $2.5 or $3 trillion into the Afghan economy, and you can't even see where it goes, where it went. We abandoned bases and everything that we built over there. Now they have it, but they're following the tradition of their people because they don't allow all that immodest dress over there. They don't allow all the things they do, and they don't even use the drugs that they produce over there. You know where most Afghan heroin and poppy and stuff go? It comes to America. It's sold in this nation. That's one of the reasons the first Bush propped it up, because the CIA was using the drug money. So most of the drugs in this nation come from those nations, from the Afghan poppy fields and things. And drugs aren't bad in those nations because you get your head cut off for drugs and things. But they're following the tradition of their fathers and things. Whereas we follow the traditions of our father thing here, those of us who are the devil, who are capitalism, who money coming to. Men are prone to excuse things. They love the excuse. You know, it's always some excuse, some reason they did things. And that's why I don't say nothing to somebody. A lot of times, you know people you correct, and instead of saying, "Oh yeah, I was wrong, I did this, I did that," they gonna go all the way around the block to come some reason to justify what they did that you told them that they did. But let me tell you why I did this, and you can accept why I did this. Genesis 3:12-13 said, "And the man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me and deceived me, and I ate from the forbidden tree.'" Those two had lost their paradise. Those are the only ones saying anything. Why? Satan didn't say anything because he knew you couldn't lie to God. Why make an excuse and God could see through the excuse? Adam and Eve both was wrong. God punished both of them. He wasn't taking any excuses. He's not going to take, at the times of our ignorant God wink, but right now, when he comes back, it's not going to be an excuse. He died for you and he sent us to warn you. Didn't you hear of his words? Don't be like David saying, "Lord, send Lazarus, send somebody back to tell my brothers about this. Send him to..." No, he says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe one though he rose from the dead. So you've been warned. Your parents have warned you. And a lot of times, you know how children love to cover up and get back in your good graces? "I need to get, honey, I need to get this." "Yeah, mama, you were right. Daddy, you were right." "Oh, now you want me to get to you by coming back, trying to sue me and say, that don't fluff my pillow. That's telling me I'm right. You don't come back here trying to say I'm right or whatever." That's what the prodigal son said. "I'd go back and say, 'Father, I've been did this and that.'" Yeah, he didn't even want to hear it. The father went and hugged him and everything and took him in before he even gave him that spiel. He didn't even have to use that spiel. He had rehearsed that spiel. He said, "Now, you know what? I'll go back and tell..." He was scheming how to get back in his father's good graces, not knowing his father sitting there waiting for him to come back, for to repent, to turn from himself. "It shall be punished, though. Disobedience shall be punished." Isaiah 42:24-20. "I said I might hurry, but I still got a long ways to go on this. But I just want to have a Bible study where we go scripture through scripture on disobedience here, because it is rebellion. Isaiah 42:24-25. "Who gave up Jacob the kingdom for spoil and the kingdom of Israel to plunder us? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, and whose ways they were unwilling to walk, and whose laws teaching they did not obey?" Who gave them, the tribe of Israel, over to Assyria for Assyria to destroy? God did. God turned Babylon and told them to go in captivity in Babylon because you're not doing like I told you to do. I said, let the ground rest every Sabbath. Every Sabbath year, let it rest. God does all these things. If something's going on, Job says, "The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Shall we not receive evil, good at the hand of the Lord, not receive bad also?" So if you do wrong, expect. That's why God had set up government. Government is a terror to those who do evil works. Now, if you do evil, you have something to be afraid of. But if you're not doing evil, see, that's the problem we have in this nation. We have unjust people that are working in the system. The problem we have with the police and the justice system, the law of what they're saying is right, but you have prejudice of evil people that's working within that system that caused the whole system to fall because your elders and political leaders and your religious leaders are not policing sin, or they're not following God themselves. They're corrupt. That's why I showed you in yesterday's preaching that the first 250 that Korah assembled. Korah was a high person. I said, like a president, a vice president, a governor. It's like our senators and our representatives, our pastors and leaders. Those 250, the ground rose up and swallowed. They were in rebellion against authority. That's the government. That's within the government. These Korah was a Levite. God had brought him close to him. That's why in the churches he says that he was going to destroy these within the churches. God take care of the hypocrites, because if I'm teaching and preaching one thing and living another, I'm a hypocrite. God says, I'll judge the hypocrite. Do what the Pharisees say, but don't do as they do. You see, he's going to take care of the Pharisees. In other words, those of the law, those of religion, the apostate church, those churches that have contradicted what the church should be, God takes care of those. We don't have to worry about that. Those are Korah. Those are the Datans. That's who he was talking about, Jude. Those that despise authority and rebel, God takes care of those. Now, the next two preachings will be about the people that follow them. How about the church members that follow these people? How about the people in this resurrection that listen to the former president about this insurrection of sedition? Every one of them that went inside the Capitol should be punished, has to be punished. That's not talking about the Mo Brookses and the senators and all those Ted Cruzes and Josh Hawley and all those who were promoting this. All of our senators and representatives who back in overthrowing this election, who back in these things, and they're still behind this 2020 thing. But that's a mark. That's why I say that's where the nation falls at. That's a dividing line. God's going to punish this thing. That's the Korah, the Dathan, and Abiram. But I told you, that was only 250. It said 250 men that took their census and things and done it. That's why I said the official capacity of the government, the church, the political leaders has to fall. But then next week, or the next 2 weeks, we're going to study where it was 14 or 15,000 people that God destroyed in this rebellion. It wasn't Korah's sons. The Korah's sons got away. They were the sons of Korah. They wrote the Psalms or whatever. It's just like Giuliani's daughter talking against Giuliani and how bad he was. It's a lot of children that are not following their parents in this rebellion. You can see those that are following all this insurrection. It's a lot of them that turn their husbands and wives in that participated. They saw this on television. You remember the girl that reported her mother? The ones that report them because they're breaking the laws. You're not of that. You don't. Your loyalty is to God, not to your mother. Your loyalty is to God, not to your children. Your loyalty is to God, not to anyone else. Your loyalty is to God, not to yourself. If you don't hate brother, father, sister, mother, even your own life more than you do me, you don't love me. Doesn't he make that specific?
Yes.
That has to come first. The truth. God's way. God's life. That's what Jesus Christ died for. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day,